Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What shall I render unto the Jehovah? Have you forgotten that song? Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. We give you praise and honor. Father, we are grateful to be seated together at this place. We want to surrender our lives to you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us this day. Minister to our spirits, O God, that as we leave this place, we shall reflect over what you will have ministered to us. Let it edify our souls. Let it lift us up, and that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This afternoon, I would like us to share something and remind ourselves of what I've titled as God Has a Plan for You. Can you look at the person next to you and tell him God has a plan for you? Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to know that there is a defined path you are going to chart in life to a destination that you are going to reach. You walk with a lot of confidence. Praise the Lord. If I were to tell you, go to Ibri, and you really don't know how to start off from Muscat here, the first challenge is overcoming your fears, because you don't know where you are going to. And then you will begin to ask me lots of questions. Where is Ibri? How does it look like? How are the people there? All those things. All those questions are just tied into one thing, that you don't have any clear understanding on how you are going to get to Ibri. As I was reflecting over Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which we are studying, I didn't reflect over the whole of it, just a portion of it. Certain things started ministering to me. So I would like us to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 5 to 5, it says, I'm reading from New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, of interest to our discussion this afternoon, verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Sometimes, and for a very long time, we have all imagined that Genesis chapter 1 is the beginning of the story. But there's nothing far from the truth. Because Ephesians comes to tell us, before the foundation of the earth, he already thought about you. He thought about me. He thought about all of us. And verse 4 says, apart from thinking about you and me, God loved us then, not now. He already loved us then. And then he chose us in Christ to be holy. So you are destined to be a holy person, not because you got saved now, not because you got saved 20 years ago. It's because God already in his plan had ordained it to be that you be a holy being. And above all, without fault in his eyes. Are we clear with that statement? Is that what is in your Bible? This is New Living Translation. Maybe King James says something different. Is that true? Praise the Lord. So as I reflected over this, I realized this God is a master architect. Praise the Lord. So I continue to Ephesians 1, verse 9 to 11. Ephesians 1, verse 9 to 11. And the Bible says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. So God did not think about Christ in the book of Matthew. It was already in the mind of Christ, of God, that Christ would be coming. Praise the Lord. A plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. Verse 10. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united in Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. You know, when I talk about advance, maybe it makes sense for us to relate it to money. I want some advance. You are getting money which you should not be getting much earlier. So this plan was already there. Something that amuses, we have got very many engineers here. Somebody said, if you throw a stone in the bread of life, you can easily hit an engineer. Praise the Lord. But I beg of you, engineers who are here, I'm not an engineer, I'm a teacher. But teachers teach engineers. Praise the Lord. If your teacher makes a mistake, you don't tell him in the front of people. So if I make a mistake, just turn in your seat and then settle. I've always been amazed with engineers. Before they embark on any project, you will see a lot of paper, drawings. One of the strange things, whenever they are looking at that drawing, I don't know why they have to put on that hard cape. Maybe there's some remote control in that cape. You'll find them gathered there and discussing drawings. They're discussing drawings, not say, pointing, and then they stand somewhere, you see. Then one will stand with something with markings. Red, black, and another one looks in something like this camera. So sometimes it's good to study people when they are at their work. So you just see this person moving with that stick, and the other one is writing notes. So I've always wondered, does this thing talk to these engineers or what? But anyway, that's their field, their specialization. Praise the Lord. After they have gone over that diagram, that those drawings, I think they call them blueprints. They look at them. After a few days, you see them clear the ground. Praise the Lord. And as they draw the ground, those things are always very close to them. The drawings. They will always be referring to the drawing as they lay ground the project. And soon you will begin to see walls emerge. And they come. And at a certain time, again, they pause. They look at the drawing. Again, you see people embark on work. Praise the Lord. At the time the blueprint is there, it is an idea in the mind. This is what we want to come up with. So they sit down and study it carefully. If there are any dimensions that are not matching, they will correct on the diagram. Praise the Lord. Before they go on the site, they will be sure that diagram has gone through evaluation. Probably other people, I don't know how many stages you go through, and approvals have been taken from whatever offices, from whatever authorities, and then now they are given the go-ahead. They start embarking on their program. Praise the Lord. I want to put it to you today. Before it was declared, let there be light, the entire blueprint had been studied with God. And God had looked at it and said, it is now time to launch in this project. Praise the Lord. There is not an accident on this world. You are not an accident. You are part of a grand plan that God had set in motion. And it's up to us to understand that. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work according to his plan. He makes everything work according to his plan. Say, I am part of the plan of God. I am part of the plan of God. So far, the following things stand out based on the scripture that you have read. God operates on a blueprint ordained from above. Number two, from this blueprint, we individually have a script well laid out, individually. I was part of a skit here some time back, and I think I did my best. And we have had several skits here before. You will find somebody refining the whole skit. Praise the Lord. When you saw Samson doing like this on the stage the other day on Monday, you know what? Our Samson is here. Yes. When he was doing his muscles like this in the NG4C, that thing had already been planned for much earlier. Praise the Lord. You are only seeing it because it was being rolled out on the stage here. If any of those people missed out their role, the whole thing will not be good. Praise the Lord. But because they kept themselves faithful to the plan that they had from the beginning, the script they had been given, each one of them prepared according to the script. And that's why the whole thing came together and we saw a perfect, a wonderful play coming out, giving us a simple message: who am I? Praise the Lord. To discover who you are, you must be in the plan of God. Then you'll discover what he had in mind when he set you on the face of the earth. The blueprint is not an afterthought. It was laid out before the foundations of the earth were set. For a fulfilled life, one has to operate as per this blueprint. Nothing is an accident in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. So I want to put it to you, brethren.
There's a grand script that God has written concerning you and me. Simple question. Am I living according to that script? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do according to God's plan? Don't answer me now. Reflect over it. Praise the Lord. It is possible. It is possible for a train to derail. But there is a clear path for trains to use. If a train remains on that path, it shall surely end up in the right station. It may move slowly, it may move fast, but it will end up in the right station. But if it derails, it ends up in the wrong path, and the wagons will fall and tumble over each other. And that is where the disaster begins. Quickly, let us go through familiar courses, familiar paths that God has demonstrated over the ages. Every story that we see in the Bible, to us today, it was a lesson for us to see what God had in mind. Adam is not coming in as an accident. Even in the book of Genesis chapter 1, if you look at the order in which God allowed things to come into existence, you can see plan in it, a clear plan. You and me always make mistakes. We always go for the crown. We don't want to go through the stages. We don't want to build the infrastructure that is going to support the crowning moment in our lives. And that is why most of us end up struggling. God said, "Let there be light." Then there was light. Then he separated. He made day and night. Then there was the waters separated. There was the dry ground. Then the plants came in, the fish came in, the animals came in. Why? He would have started with man and said, "Man, how can I support you?" But because he was laying the infrastructure for man to exist well, man came last. Praise the Lord. Adam. Adam was just now living what had been ordained of him much earlier in the plan of God. It's not that that moment God now said, what can I do? No. It was already in plan. He is a master architect. He always makes sure things are falling in place according to his divine plan. And so there was nothing as an accident. Genesis 3:8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. This is coming as a result of Adam, who had been given an opportunity to chart a way along the rails that God had already laid in his life. He decided to walk outside those rails. Now he discovers things are not the same. Initially, God wanted him just to go along those rails, not to bother about anything. You know, in the train, it is possible even for whoever is, what do they call the drivers of the train? Just drivers? Yeah. It is possible for him to set it on and then walk around a bit. Because the rail is there. The only thing that he cares, probably an animal can cross. Praise the Lord. But he knows it will remain on that rail. So he can always be relaxed. They are not under a lot of tension like us in Oman roads. They are not always with eyes open like this every time, looking for the next driver to knock, who is about to knock into them. No. Hell is also, and you know, it's only one train going. God has charted a clear path for each one of us that we can chart confidently without worries. But there is a problem. This God is not a slave master. He has given us a free will that he expects us to exercise subject to his authority. that we failed through Adam. So Adam has derailed, and that's why they're hiding. As a result, the consequences continue to reverberate throughout the history of mankind. We feel them right now because of Adam. We said last time, don't blame Adam. You have another opportunity like Adam. Praise the Lord. Each one of us has got our unique plan from God. Don't start blaming Adam for derailing from his plan. Look at yourself and say, am I on my plan? The plan that God ordained for me? Or am I straying out? That will help you a lot. And because the Bible says, the plans, man plans, but the purposes of God must take effect. In verse 21, God makes a clothing of animal skins for Adam and his wife because he wants to bring them back to the plan that he ordained for them. I am sure many of us have failed God from time to time. I am told and I'm informed on the day of judgment. You know, we like looking at these screens, watching. But there will be a screen that will be displaying your life, both secret, both private, and public life. So that our inner man will be bare and naked to be witnessed by many. Some of us will watch our lives into eternal shame. Some of us will watch our lives into eternal glory. Praise the Lord. What display do you want to be shown on that day? Let us go back to the rails that God had set for us. In Genesis 1:28 and also Genesis 9:1, we see another restoration taking place. For we were created to reign. And that is the position that God had given Adam. But unfortunately, Adam lost it. The generation between Adam and Noah had to be phased out, and a new one came out. But there is something common in Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 9:1. The following words are uttered. And then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." In the time of Adam, before he sinned, this authority was given to him. He fell down, and so as a result, the generation between him and that of Noah was wiped out. God gave a new, a fresh beginning. And that's why he repeated the same words to Noah. He's repeating the same words to you today. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. Sometimes when these two words are uttered, I don't know why human beings think of children. Fruitful and multiplication. Always. And there are some men who are very proud. God has blessed them with the 15, 16 children. Hey, don't. This is normal. It is you, this generation, who is afraid. You only want one, two, then you put break. No problem. Don't feel condemned. Praise the Lord. So they want to multiply in that sense, but you can multiply in your spiritual sense. Praise the Lord. Many have got spiritual children whom they can bring forth and multiply. Those ones, there's no limit. Extend as much as you can. Praise the Lord. The Almighty God will bless you. Be fruitful. Exercise the God-like life into other people's lives, and God will bless you. But the essence of my sharing this is to say, we need to reclaim that position that God had prepared for us. God was and is still determined to accomplish his plan for mankind. Instead of leaves, God makes a sacrifice for their sin and clothes them with an animal skin. So you can see at the very beginning, God beginning to initiate the issue of sacrifice so that man might be restored back to his former glory. Let us also move to Genesis 11, 31, 32. There was another plan that God had in the life of a man called Abraham. There was another plan for the life of the man called Abraham. But you see, Abraham was tied to Terah, his father. That one, he says, one day Terah took his son, Abraham, his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son, Abraham's wife, and his grandson, Lot, his son, Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Can you say he was headed for the land of Canaan? Now, there's a reason, because God was moving them in this direction. Something happened. But they stopped at Haran and settled there. This is the problem that we have. Many of us in our midst started off with a lot of excitement in our walk with God. We knew what God wanted to do in our lives. We knew which direction God wanted to take us. We set off with a lot of excitement. And along the way, we reached a place of complacence where we settled down and we decided to take a rest. We congratulated ourselves that I have done this, I have gone to this mission. Many people have come to the Lord because of me. I have served in the church this long. I have done this, I've led the worship team. I have preached this many times and people have listened to me. And so we have settled down. We have forgotten the ultimate goal of God's plan in our lives. Praise the Lord. And what happened? Terah lived for 205 years and he died while still in Haran. Did he reach Canaan? He remained in Haran and died there. May it not be so for you. May you attain the level that God had ordained for you from the very beginning. This stopping along the way can bring along stagnation in the plans of God. But let us look at the son, Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God was simply declaring the plan that he had in the life of Abraham. It had not been effected at that time. It required Abraham to take some action, a set of actions, to walk along with God until he gets to Canaan. Praise the Lord. It requires you not to sit back and wait for God to fulfill his purpose in your life. You must set out and begin to work with God. We are co-workers with God. Praise the Lord. We are co-workers with God. The plan is there, but you must work with him hand in hand for that plan to come into fulfillment. Otherwise, we remain in a position of stagnation like Terah, and we may die in Haran rather than in Canaan. Praise the Lord. I implore you, brethren, that there is something great that God wants to do in our individual lives. It is not going to be us hanging around as a group. No. Sometimes it will require you to isolate yourself, to move away from the group that you know, the group that is familiar, those who are close to you, that God's plan may begin to take effect. I'm not saying now you run away from people, but I'm saying spiritually you can disengage certain company, some associates, in order that God may begin to lift you from where you are. When he told Terah to leave, Terah left some people behind. He made some progress. Let us not forget. He made some progress. But he reached a place he did not exert himself in order to reach where God wanted him to reach. Abraham took over and he went along. And the Bible tells us very clearly he left his native country, his relatives, the father's family, and went to a land that he will be shown. He had not seen the land. By faith, he started walking. Praise the Lord. At least today you can use Google Map. He didn't have, praise the Lord, he didn't have that. I'm saying there is a need for parting. Genesis 13, 14 to 17. 14, after Lot had gone. Say, after Lot had gone. After Lot had gone. It is important for us to note, as they went with Lot, you see, God had talked to Abraham, and he started blessing Abraham. But Lot had an advantage. He hung around Abraham. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody it is good to hang around men who fear God. It's good to hang around men who are obedient to God. We are not told how Lot used to be prayerful. We are not told. But in the process of hanging around Abraham, Abraham is being blessed, Lot is being blessed. Isn't it? That is why I'm saying it is good to hang around men who fear and obey God. Because when he showers them with the blessings, you know, God uses a shower. That's why he made you to understand a shower. Praise the Lord. So when the shower comes, you can also hang there. Some drips will come. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So a time comes when Lot has forgotten how he has acquired his wealth. It's because of Abraham. He decides now there is conflict. And Abraham says, I don't want to start stressing myself because of such small things. I don't know what God has promised me a lot. Choose where you want to be. Choose the best you want. Many lots in this congregation here. If you are given such an opportunity, great blessing. You don't ask yourself, is it God's will that I choose or he chooses first? Because we are living in a world where it is I, me, and myself. So you take first and say, okay, thank you, God bless you, brother, and you walk away. Lot did that. We know the story. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, I am giving all this land. Sorry, after Lot had taken and gone away, I don't know who is Lot in your life. I don't know. Don't tell me. You might be saying Kenneth. Praise the Lord. There is a Lot in your life. It may not be a human being. It may be something else which has taken the place of Lot in your life. That thing must be divorced in order for God to take his place in your life. Do you hear me? Soon after this man left Abraham, then God smiles. He comes to Abraham alone and says, hey, I am giving you all this land. Are you hearing the words of God? He's whispering to Abraham alone. Lot is not there now. Can you say, Lot, leave me? I want to hear the voice of God. And then God comes to whisper, I am giving you all this land as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. Have the right associations. Praise the Lord. Pray that God may give you the right associations in life, so that you may discover what God's purpose and plan is for your life. Quickly, chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. As the sun was going down, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "You can be sure." This God loved this man. Praise the Lord. It is good to be alone with God. It is good to be in the presence of God alone. He speaks to you many things. Abraham has left Lot, and you can see the visitations. The Lord again comes and says to Abraham, you can be sure. Okay, Abraham has been complaining that you are saying I'll have many descendants. I don't have a son, blah, 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 blah. Complaining like Kenneth. Instead of telling God, "God, fulfill your plan for my life. Now, God, you can see. Now, God, you can see. Now, God, you can see." Who told you God is blind? He sees all those things even before you see them. Praise the Lord. So Abraham has been complaining, and God has told him, "You are going to have many, many descendants. I've confirmed that. But they will be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. Praise the Lord. But I want to remind you, when you go to reflect over those verses, Abraham was told to make sacrifices. He split some animals into two. The sleep didn't get him at that time. For some time, he was battling with the vultures. Praise the Lord. The birds wanted to eat the sacrifice. He was chasing them away every time. Why? That sacrifice was meant for God, and it was to be a link to the plan of God in Abraham's life. Praise the Lord. That is why the sacrifices you are going to make, I said you must partner with God for the plan of God to be fulfilled in your life. There are sacrifices that you are going to make at an individual level, a personal level, so that God's plan may be fulfilled into your life. It will demand sometimes denial from things that you cherish so much. It will demand that you deny yourself some comfort so that you are in the right standing with God to realize those plans. Praise the Lord. There is an individual role for you to play. Quickly, we have seen a few examples where God's plan is coming in the life of Abraham. And we know the story of Abraham. It is not because Abraham accidentally fell into this accident, just interacting with God. There was already a laid down plan, and God had it ordained. So Abraham was fitting in that plan. Did Abraham mess in the plan? Yes. Did he derail? Yes. But then God's purpose had to be effected. God had an alternative for Abraham. The mistakes that Abraham made had consequences. But eventually the plan of God came into effect. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're suffering now. Maybe because you derailed somewhere. Can you go back to God and clear that issue with God? Be honest with Him. Tell Him, "Daddy, I know you set me on this course, but I ran away. I did not walk along this path as you had wanted me to." Let Him restore you. And be ready. The pains may be there, but the new plan that is going to give you a new cloth of skin in your life, not of leaves, something more permanent, He will set a new course in your life. Praise the Lord. I'll beg 5 to 7 minutes. I'll try to squeeze whatever I have. Luke 4, 18:21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. And verse 21, then he began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. The words that Jesus Christ was reading at that time were already prophesied by Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2. So when Christ is speaking those words, he's actually unveiling the plan of God according to what was written and prophesied. The difference why Christ became so successful in his mission on earth is because he made sure he was in the plan of God for his life at that moment. He never did anything outside the plan of God for his life in that time. So one of the things was this. I was just reading it as a way of confirming to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he did nothing that was just accidental. Everything was according to the plan of God for his mission on earth. And one of them was this: when he comes and reads this scroll, he's actually telling everybody, as he says in verse 21, the scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Praise the Lord. That now I am setting out into the plan of God in your lives. Matthew 1:18-19 is the same as Isaiah 7:14. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy was being affirmed. The plan of God for the birth of Christ was being fulfilled. It was already prophesied, and now it was coming into effect. That's why the life of Christ was ordered according to the divine plan. Are you living in the plan of God? Are you walking in the plan of God for your life? Have you surrendered to God's purpose in your life? Or are you just guessing as you go along? You will also look at Matthew 2, 3, 6. It mirrors Micah 5, 2. That a ruler would be born in this insignificant town of Bethlehem. It was small. It was prophesied. It was fulfilled according to God's plan. Praise the Lord. Can you say according to God's plan? Matthew 2:16-18 mirrors Hosea 11:1. The cry from Ramah. Women crying for their children who are being murdered because somebody wants to kill Christ. That was also fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Matthew 3:1-3 mirrors Isaiah 40:3. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That is a message that was fulfilled again. Why? Because these are people who are fitting in God's plan for their lives. They were not walking outside it. Praise the Lord. They were not walking outside God's plan. Now, let's quickly go through this. In our conclusion, Jeremiah 1:5-6. God does not make mistakes. Jeremiah 1:5-6. And I want you to pay attention. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Verse 6, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. Didn't God know that he's young? Didn't God know his challenges in speaking? But God's plan was for him to be a prophet. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for you, he said. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 8:28, everything, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slow concerning his promises. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he is being patient. Don't hurry God. He has a plan for you and is in control. Psalms 32:8, God will instruct each and teach us. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. The plan of God. He will guide you along the best path for your life. And I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like senseless horse and mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep under control. You want that thing to be hanged into your nose as a Christian so that God is controlling you like this? He says no. He will watch over you. Things to ponder. We finalize with this. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Did you hear me? I leave you with these three statements. Are you where God wants you to be at this time? Remember, everything, every experience is part of his divine plan. Is it possible that whatever you are looking for is at variance with God's plan for your life? Remember, everything happens for a reason. Nothing occurs by chance. It is all part of God's divine plan for you to learn, to trust, and to go where he leads. May God bless you.
Hallelujah. Are you in God's plan? Am I aligned to his plan? Am I living as per his blueprint? Am I on the plan that God has ordained for me? Am I in the crossroads of complacency? Terah settled in Haran. Complacency is a parched land. Are you finding yourself in a parched land? How far am I willing to go forward towards God's call? Abram moved forward even when others were behind. He was willing to leave all to follow what God had called him towards. What is that lot that needs to be separated from my life? I want us to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. When we heard all these examples, why does God bring these examples to us in this time? Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And let's move to the next verse. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let's rise up to our feet. We saw the example of Jesus, the one who fulfilled the plan of God to its fullness. And I want us to open our Bibles to John 1. While God had thought of you and I before the foundation of the world, remember, you and I are a part of God's plan. And peradventure, we have failed God's plan. We have derailed his plan over our life. Let's look at what God's word says to us tonight once again, today once again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, including you and I, tell your neighbor, including you and I, all things were made through him, and without him there was nothing that was made that was made. Nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men, the light of men. Remember, the one who fulfilled the plan of God, if you have surrendered your life to him, he dwells in you. And therefore, God is giving you another opportunity today. Now and today, if there is a now and if there is a today, the eternal God who has thought of you before you were even formed in your mother's womb dwells in you to fulfill his plan. Why don't we surrender once again? Take this moment to surrender ourselves once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time that you have given us to know once again the plans that you have for us. You are God who has made a plan for me, and you know the plans that you have for me. Father, there are many decisions that I have taken. There are things that I have done that has derailed your plan over my life. There are times that I have shipwrecked my faith because I have followed my own instincts. I have followed my own understanding instead of trusting on you, instead of leaning on you. But you are God who is merciful. You are God who has not withheld your good spirit from me. Today, once again, I surrender myself before you. I have come here, and I have come to lay myself down on the altar. Lord, take my life and build it again. From the crossroads of complacency, from the crossroads of dryness, Lord, lift me up. Lord, lift me up through your good spirit. Instruct me in the way I should go and help me, Lord God, that I may fulfill your plan as you dwell in me. Father, we bless your holy name for your word that has challenged us, that has exhorted us, and that has redirected us to you. Lord, I pray for your son that you have used. I pray you will replenish him and you will continue to guide him with your eye upon him. In the name of Jesus. As for each of us, O Lord God, our eyes are toward you. Help us to heed to your voice and be found where you are. According to your promise, you said, my servant will be there where I am. Help us to be found in your presence always. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever, and all saints shall say, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.